Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. The Call to Obedience Radio Ministry is sponsored by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship in Kokomo, Indiana. Today, we shall continue our study in the book of John. But first, let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for thy divine illumination on the declaration of thy sacred word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to receive my monthly printed messages, I will give you our address at the end of this program, so I suggest that you have your paper and pencil ready. Now let us turn to John 1, verse 12 and 13, where it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." In my last message, I speak to you on the importance and meaning of receiving Christ Jesus. I told you that not all believing leads to receiving. Many people believe in Jesus, but they refuse to receive him into their lives. If we believe in Jesus without receiving him, then we have an unbiblical faith. We have to keep this all in mind whenever we quote a popular Bible passage that mentions the word believing, such as John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What this verse means is that if you believe in Jesus unto receiving him into your heart, into your life, as Lord of Lords, then you shall have everlasting life, and then you shall never perish. So, when John gave us this passage, "For God so loved the world," dear ones, and he asked us to believe in him, he did not speak of any believing short of receiving Jesus as Lord. So, having established already in this first chapter of John that biblical faith is all about going all the way with our faith and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, let us go on now in considering the tremendous implication of becoming and being sons of God. For verse 12 says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God." A son of God is somebody who is born of God. Now, when we are born of our mother, we took on many of the characteristics of our mother. We were made of her and of our father's substance. We were made or born in their likeness, and the character that we're taking on at birth is a likeness of the ones who bear us. And that's true of all species, not just of humans. It's true of dogs and cats and birds and bees and sparrows. So when we were born, we took on the character, the likeness of the ones who beget us, and so, as that is true in the physical sense, it is also true in a spiritual sense. When we were born of God as Christians, we took on the spiritual nature of God, we took on the likeness of God, so when we as Christians were born of God, we became like God, and we started to act like God, and we started to react like God, we started to think like God. And I'm sorry to say, of many Christians, that the closest they ever were to God, the most they ever were like God, was on the day that they were born of God. And since that day, it has been a downhill journey of becoming less and less like God for so many of them. That's one of the great tragedies of Christianity. On the day Christians were born of God, they would not even have thought of not getting together with fellow Christians to pray at the next opportunity. They would never have thought on the day that they were born of God not to give sacrificially to the work of Christ's kingdom to spread the gospel. People on the day when they were born of God would never have thought about watching a worldly movie. They would never have thought about on the day of their birth to criticize the men of God or to quarrel with anybody. They, on the day when they were born of God, my dear friends, would never have considered not going to church when the church doors were open and they could be there, whether it would be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. On the day Christians, people, were born of God, they were the most spiritual they ever have been in their lives. That's true of most of them, I should say. There's, of course, a beautiful pattern of this in the book of Acts. In the first or the second chapter of this book, we have a picture of the first Christians on the first day and perhaps the first week of their new life in Christ. It says that then they gladly received his word, and they were baptized, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And it also says in verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Dear ones, they were just born of God. As many as received him, as many as received Jesus, John says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So at the moment of birth, the moment a person is born of God, he becomes like God. He takes on God's characteristics, God's spirit, God's likes and God's dislikes. And he wants to have more of what he's already got. He wants to pray, he wants to witness, he wants to be with God's people in fellowship, he wants to worship, and he wants to give. Just like a dog, when he's born, takes on the nature of his mother and father, so does a Christian on the day of his birth. When he's born of God, he takes on the nature of God. Let me ask you, if you're a Christian, are you as much like God now as on the day when you were first born of God? A person who is less like God today than he was the day he was born of God is a backslider. He's gone back from what he once was. He no longer is what he was at the beginning of his Christian life. Talking about this from the aspect of athletics, of his, say, 100-meter runner, he's gone back from the starting line where he was placed, and he's now behind the starting line. He's not moved forward. He's a backslider. Oh, my friend, when we were born of God, every one of us who are Christians took on the nature, the likeness of God, and we received power at that moment of birth. We received power of the Holy Spirit to resist the flesh, the world, and the devil. Now, I know some of you balk at this a little bit, and you say, well, Pastor Schultz, you know, I didn't really have that much spiritual strength when I was born. Listen, you had more strength, you had more power than you can possibly imagine. For our text says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, who is he? It is Jesus. The moment you were born, Jesus, the King of Kings, gave you power to become a son of God. How much power did he give you? How much power did he give you at the moment of your spiritual birth? I say unlimited, unlimited power. There's no limit to it. It's not a little bit of power. It's not a whole lot of power. But unlimited power is what you received at the moment when you were born of God. Unlimited power to pray and to witness, to live a life of praise, to sacrifice, to obey God. My friend, we were born by the power of God, not by our power, not by our power, but by his power, as it is explained so beautifully in the next verse, the 13th verse of this passage. And pay attention to this. It says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, my friend, the power that put the stars under the heavens in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, that put the sun and the moon up there, the power that separated the land from the sea, that power was made available to you, was given to you, dear Christian, the moment of your conversion. We were born again, my friend. We were not born again by our own will. We were not born again by our Father's faith, but of God. The most drastic, powerful intervention in human history occurs every time that a sinner, a rebel, is born of God. If this work would be by man, this event wouldn't be anything to be excited about. It would lead nowhere. But it is by God's divine intervention. It's God's intrusion with all his power into the heart of man, making him a new man in Christ Jesus. That makes all the difference. That, my friend, is so thrilling. It's so exciting. And I don't know what's greater than that that could possibly happen on the face of the earth. Dear ones, I want you to know that this could not happen and did not happen until 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. You go back in the Old Testament, read about these wonderful people from Abel unto Enoch and to Noah and to Abraham and to Moses and David and the prophets, my friend, none of them had the privilege of experiencing their rebirth, to be born of God in a moment of a twinkling of an eye by the power of God, to be born into his likeness, to be in his likeness on the first day of their lives with God, as we have the privilege of being. So then John makes it plain that we cannot get this power, that we cannot get this mighty transformation in our hearts and our souls any other way but by God himself. And this is why we have the 13th verse. It's just absolutely wonderful. Listen to this verse. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now then, in this 13th verse, John brings out the three ways by which we cannot receive this power of God that changes us. And the first one that he mentions, by which we cannot become like God, he says, is we cannot become like God by blood, which were born not of blood. What John is trying to do here is he's trying to tell us, particularly the Jewish people, that you can no longer just say, I'm a son of God because I'm a child of Abraham. I can trace my heritage, my bloodline, all the way back to Abraham, as the scribes and Pharisees did so many times. John says you cannot do that. Tracing your bloodline back to Abraham will not make you a child of God. You must be born again. Yes, that's what it's meant by which we're born, not of blood. The next thing he says, you cannot get this godliness by the will of the flesh. And some scholars believe that indicates you can't get it by physical impulse, by a moment in an emotional crisis, or by just having certain feelings of needs at a certain time, but just simply impulsively turning to God and making a commitment. It's got to be more than that that brings the power of God into our lives. And the third thing that John mentions, you cannot get this godliness, this God-likeness, by the will of man. It is not by willpower. You can do a lot of things by willpower, but you cannot become a child of God by willing it, but only, my friend, by the power of God. Well, we'll continue on this great text next week. Let me read it to you again, verse 12 and 13 of John 1. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Well, thank you for listening to this radio broadcast. Please tune in again next week to the Call to Obedience radio ministry, when we'll continue with the book of John. To receive my monthly messages in print, contact us at Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, that's K-O-K-O-M-O, Kokomo, Indiana, 46903. Once again, write to us for the printed messages, Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, Indiana, 46903. This is Pastor Schulze, and goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.